Welcome to the House of Party Planning podcast. I'm here with Kelly from High on Heels, who are the ultimate party band, created with an all-female lineup, which we particularly love, from an abundance of raw music talent. High on Heels is DJ-led, and they involve percussionists, vocalists, electric violinists, and also a really talented horn section. And this means that depending on the client, they can really tailor their lineup and style to suit the client and create something amazing with obviously a touch of glamour and incredible entertainment. So hi, Kelly.
Hello.
So nice to have you chatting. I'd love to kind of delve in to kind of the beginning of High on Heels. How did you start, and did you know each other before? And, you know, when you're recruiting new members, what qualities do you look for? So kind of hear about the kind of backbones of High on Heels.
Yeah, so basically, it started in like 2002, believe it or not. So amazing. I was DJing. Yeah, that's been quite a long time. So I was sort of DJing around the world. I used to have a residency for Head Candy, sort of back in the day. So I'd sort of worked with some live musicians. So there's a lovely Laura, who's an incredible sax player who lives in Ibiza now. So and Pav on percussion. And I'd sort of played with some live musicians sort of doing Head Candy, which I always really loved. And I sort of, I couldn't help but sort of tailor my set a little bit so that they could sort of shine. And I just loved playing so with sort of live musicians. So I think that was kind of the start of it. But then I went off and sidetracked and sort of very busy sort of DJing all around the world and doing different projects. And then I met a vocalist, and she was incredible. And we started sort of trying to write music together. And she wasn't really performing at that time very much. Her name was Marte. And it just sort of happened organically where I sort of said to her, look, no one's really signing our music. So, look, why don't you come and perform it live? I was very busy sort of DJing. So I said, come and sort of do a few tracks. And so we tried to build a set. So we were sort of doing original music. However, to try and sort of bridge the gaps, we were sort of doing covers, but we were bootlegging it over sort of, you know, house tracks that I was playing back in the time. And then kind of it just went down so well. And then what I noticed that people were sort of preferring our covers than actually our original tracks.
Really? And, yeah. I guess because they could kind of get involved themselves. So they slightly already know them, but then they're a bit more fun and a bit more vibey. So
totally. Yeah. And it's sort of people weren't expecting that sort of over the tracks that we were doing. So it sort of turned into sort of from us trying to be sort of original band, it turned into sort of doing these kind of covers. And yeah, people were just, I mean, Marte's an incredible vocalist. Like, she's just incredible at sort of hyping the crowd. So it just added so much to a DJ set. So then I was like, okay. And then I met a girl called Jazz on percussion. And I was blown away by her. You know, I was like, my God, she's incredible. So then I sort of approached her and said, oh, do you want to come and do a gig with us? And that's sort of how High on Heels kind of organically grew that way. So it wasn't really contrived. It kind of just happened.
I love that you were kind of, rather than being like, we need a Jazz, we need a vocalist, we need X, and looking for them, it almost like you made the spaces in High on Heels because you found these talented women.
Yeah,
which I love.
Totally. Yeah. And then as I said, going sort of back to your question, it never stops, because, you know, someone will send me a link, you know, it's a bit of a family, really. I mean, you know, especially through the female community, like, everyone sort of has each other's backs for gigs and things like that. So someone might say, oh, look, you know, have you seen, you know, this violinist or this percussionist, sort of send me a link. And there's just so many incredible musicians in London. We're quite blessed with really amazing artists, and they all bring a really different element to our set. So we could pretty much do the same set, and if we sort of swap musicians in, it just changes it.
Yeah, so it's unique every time,
which I love it.
Yeah. I love your passion. I can tell you love it from kind of the way you're speaking. Yeah. And I think also it's so important, because I think traditionally the music industry has been heavily dominated by men. And I think it's really, and there are positives and things are changing. But I think, you know, 2002, you probably really did feel very unique being an all-female lineup. Mm. And what do you think, apart from the kind of camaraderie you mentioned, what do you think are the benefits of being an all-female lineup?
I'm obviously a fan of all the girls massively, so you know, number one is their ability to play, you know. So we're working with some of the best, in my view anyway, some of the best musicians sort of, you know, definitely in the UK. So they're incredible musicianship. No, I can't even say it. So the way that they play, they're just badass, basically. Exactly. They're just badass. I think there's a chemistry. There's a chemistry with all the girls. We've all become very good friends from traveling together. Like, lots of girls have lived together. You know, there's lots of sort of amazing soulfulness come out of us all playing together. And then, I mean, who's not going to love it? They're beautiful, talented, you know, amazing ladies that are incredible at what they do. So I don't know who wouldn't love it, to be honest.
I totally agree. And it's kind of like, especially at events where you want to be uplifted and feel positive, there's like nothing more positive than all these women kind of strutting their stuff and playing incredibly.
Exactly.
And then, so you obviously, the band kind of ranges from, you can do all different, because it's DJ led, you can kind of do all different sizes, can't you? And I know your biggest is a 9-piece, but then you could also do a 4-piece. How do you decide, or how do you work with the clients depending on the size of the band?
Well, there's quite a lot of factors involved. So, again, with the client, it depends, obviously, well, quite importantly, their space. So, you know, how much space that they've got. And also, I suppose, what they want to create. Because if you've got sort of a very big room and you've got lots of guests, you know, you want something really high impact. Then, the full band, the horn section, you know, having strings, you know, having DJ, obviously two vocalists, like having the whole thing, it looks better, it fills up the stage, and also obviously it's a bigger sound, and you know, and obviously again musically we can go for longer because there's more of us. But then also, then, you know, it is overkill if you've got a very tiny sort of intimate event and you've got, you know, a massive sort of 9-piece band. It's too much for it. So that would be another thing, really, what we're trying to create. So, you know, if a client came to us and they said, look, you know, we want something really kind of quite loungy but then building up, you know, we might say, well, look, let's look at the space, you know, let's not do overkill because people want to talk in the beginning, so we can build it, start off smaller. So it really sort of, it's kind of event driven really, because every time you do something, you want to put something right for someone's event. And sometimes, even though, you know, as I said, you can hear my passion, I love playing with as many artists as possible, but sometimes it is overkill if there's a smaller, more intimate crowd. It's not necessary.
Yeah. That's what's great in your experience from, 2002. I can't imagine how many events you've been involved in, which really, gives you that knowledge and understanding of what can work in the space and et cetera.
And also we do anything from sort of a lounge, like a live lounge set. And then there's certain instruments that work better with that. So, you know, always strings works with the lounge, you know, maybe sort of having not a full percussion kit, but just bongos, you know, slightly. So there's also musically, it would depend on, you know, and I think we've mentioned, so we built a horn section, we spent quite a lot of time trying to get that right. And so, you know, that's very big room, big sound, party, lots of energy. I wouldn't necessarily have the horns, you know, I might have maybe trumpet and sax, but it would be a very different kind of set if we were doing more of a lounge than we would like full-on party.
Love it as well, that build up. I think, well, you know, the making the best kind of parties and events is when you start throughout the evening, it's just like building up and up and up. And I think music is the best way to do that, isn't it? And it makes the guests kind of grow with the party.
Yeah, no, completely. I've kind of come from, as I said, like a DJ, you know, DJing for, God, you know, decades and doing events. It's just, yeah, there's a time for everything, and it's nice to be able to warm up for yourself as well. I mean, again, you can work with great DJs, but sometimes, you know, DJs have lost some of the art of knowing, you know, what a warm-up is, you know. So if you peak too early in the night, people kind of exhausted and then they don't last long. It's everything at once. So you kind of, you know, if you want to build a night, there's the right time and the sound and stuff like that to do it. Yeah, so I've kind of thought that.
Yeah, and also I think that's quite you're not led by your ego in that sense, because you're kind of realizing that the party is about the guests too, and actually at some points they go chatting, or at some points they're not, like, you know, and then you want everyone to be dancing at one point. But I think that's the way you're talking is very, I don't know how to phrase it, unego-led, like not ego-led.
Yes.
I think Yeah, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, it's important.
Really important. And so then, okay, slightly different question, but what artists in the, you know, in the UK, or actually in the world, do you adore, or do you kind of give you inspiration?
Yeah, God, I mean, so, you know, there's so many.
I know, that's a hard question.
Yeah, I know, how long have you got? But I mean, because it's a weird one, like personally, I'm trying to keep myself away from it personally. I'd say sort of Han Hills is, I mean, we were very inspired by Basement Jacks in the beginning. Yeah. That was kind of the model of what me and Marte were sort of necessarily kind of trying to build. And when, you know, when we met Jazz and these amazing sort of artists, because we were very much about doing our own music. So that was, you know, that was sort of the model. But then also, you know, vocal wise, I mean, God, Beyonce, Chaka Khan, like Luther, Jill Scott, you know, all these incredible artists that we're all inspired by because we, you know, bootleg, I'll say bootleg, but we recreate their tracks, you know, and totally. we really respect the artists that we are, you know, sort of, I suppose, redoing. And what we're really doing is taking sort of these classic tracks and then, yeah, I suppose either slowing it down for a sort of a lounge version to perform them live or, you know, making them sort of more danceable.
Totally, totally.
You know, so, I mean, there's all these classics, like I said, like Luther Vandross, all these things that are, you know, it's just, I mean, he's my God, you know, as far as a vocal. But it wasn't, yes, you could drop that at the right time, but if you're trying to play sort of a party set and you want to sort of influence some of those vocals, you know, those tracks don't necessarily work on a, you know, dance sort of thing. So that's what we were trying to do, is just make them dance floor friendly. If that makes sense. And then, yeah.
And also it means it's something that people recognise, but actually they wouldn't imagine that suddenly came into the party and then they're surprised by it.
Yeah, and then and some of the stuff we're keeping it a bit true to, you know, what it isn't. And so I stay away from karaoke because that's you know, that's not what we do. But I'll either so if we can't necessarily keep it true to its form, then we'll totally recreate it. And so as long as we've got the vibe in there and the vocal in there, it's sometimes better that we just totally recreate the track than trying to sort of, you know, just put a kick in it and speed it up, because that doesn't always work with some of these incredible records that are, you know, amazing as they are.
And also that's more fun for you because you're really putting the work in rather than just changing anything. And then, so we've got to talk about your amazing outfits. How do you decide? Do you have one person in the group that's into the styling? Or how does it work with outfits? Because you guys always look phenomenal.
Oh, well, that's really nice of you. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes not being able to get together and things like that before, you know, event, we try and sort of keep things quite simple. So for me, like block colours really, really work. You know, they look really great all together. And then, you know, we're not sort of, you know, all over the place with our style. So try and keep to block colours. But, you know, we've sort of started this Studio 54 because we're getting really inspired by that sort of disco. So that's where we've like had a little look. We've had a stylist sort of involved, and she's kind of given us a route to go down so that we don't look like Christmas trees when we kind of turn up, you know, with everyone's interpretation of something, which has happened on quite a few occasions, I've got to say. You know, we're like, Ollie, let's go sequin. And then we look like a Christmas tree bunch, you know, in the photos. Because I think it's funny because things look great individually, but when you come together as a group, it can all be very too much. So that's why in some ways, like, the simpler, the better. Yeah. And then what you find is if there's like sort of 6-7 of you, it's much better to be in like a block colour because it just visually is nicer for everyone else, you know, to sort of see, rather than, you know, a load of sequins when everyone comes and go, whoa. Yeah. So that's as far as our styling goes. But it's funny, I always think we can do it better, you know. So we've kind of toyed with, you know, getting stylists involved over time. Sometimes it's gone really right. Sometimes it's gone very wrong.
I'd love to see some of these wrong ones.
Funny enough, they're not anywhere. they've just been sweeped as a lesson. Exactly. Yeah, just as a lesson to move on.
That's
so
funny. And then, so I feel like this is often the kind of most frustrating thing for fans and DJs. Do you take requests from crowd or what happens when someone tries to do a request? Because I know sometimes it can be a little bit of a nightmare.
I mean, again, no. Well, the thing is, I mean, that's what, again, is amazing about being around a DJ set. So So, yeah, I mean, as a DJ, I do take requests because I want people to obviously really enjoy their night. And if someone really wants that record, I know what it's like when you're somewhere and, you know, you're in the moment and you go, oh, my God, I wish you could just hear this. But obviously it has to be sensible. So, you know, it's got, so that's the thing where you've got to you know, gauge your crowd.
Yeah, manage expectations.
Exactly. So if someone, you know, has come up and, you know, and asked for a rock song, which happens quite often, and you just know that if you played that, the whole dance floor is going to clear.
You have to politely
kind of go, or as you know, if we're doing the whole event, you know, so say I'm playing with Harlan Hills and I'm playing afterwards, then I will sort of say, look, I'll get your track in, but obviously not live, or, you know, we're trying to sneak it in there. And so, yeah, as I said, I think it is nice to involve people, and luckily most of the time people do, because our repertoire now over the years is like massive, and obviously the girls have been working with so long, so they have the ability to suddenly, you know, just swap out and just change and be able to, but it just has to suit everyone else, because
yeah, and fit your brand as well, because I think the reason people have kind of got you involved is because they like what you do, so it's yes. not up to a guest necessarily to go like, especially
well, no,
request something
it's got to work. Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's some male vocals, you know, that do not work us redoing them, you know. Yeah. There's some Elton John stuff that just needs to get left. It doesn't sound good as a female vocal, so you know, things like that, but that's when we can play it. And so, you know, if we're building a set completely kind of tailored to someone, so if we're sitting down in the beginning and, you know, the clients are saying to us, right, you know, or for weddings, that's a really key one, because I really believe in weddings that everyone should, you know, I love it, like if everyone sort of goes and puts their top track in, you know, they go around to all their friends and family, because then just everyone is happy, everyone gets to hear what they love. And then I'll have a look within that mix of what we can do well live and then what we should play as a DJ, you know. Yeah.
So that's actually really flexible.
Yeah, because there's just some stuff that I say to them, listen, you know, it doesn't sound great us doing it, especially as well, we're female, you know, vocal led, you know, some of those male versions, you know, but we can definitely play it, or we could build it that the horn section can do something to it, or, you know, it's all, yeah. So and it's something I never thought I would, you know, when I started off and I said we're inspired by Basement Jacks and being really cool and making music, which we are doing, and we're releasing stuff finally, and, you know, because we've got our cool edge. But I mean, I absolutely love doing weddings now, because it's just, you know, it's really beautiful to be part of someone's, you know, intimate event, and especially if you sat down and kind of tailored it in the beginning and then you're part of something.
Yeah, it's such and it's so special, isn't it? Because you kind of, yeah. Often the time as well is so long, the relationship you have with the clients, because people plan their wedding, you know, when it's a luxury, like a brand event or a corporate event, the time period is often much shorter. But with a wedding, sometimes it's over a year, you're kind of chatting to people about it, which almost makes this friendship as well. So when you're...
It does, you kind of get emotionally involved in their event. And, you know, without in club world, it's quite different than when I started off DJing. You know, it was very much like you had moments with the crowd and everyone would connect, and I feel some of the club world is very disconnected now, so, you know, no one's even knows who the DJ is playing, and everyone's got an iPhone and comes up and go, can you play, you know, it's really changed for me. So I would much rather do something sort of a lot more intimate, that you've kind of been involved in someone's, you know.
And they've they're there because they've chosen you to be there, and they really want you to
completely.
Be there, so which is really nice.
Yeah.
And then you just touched on that you, like, you being the, you know, the kind of format, whether it's High on Hills first and then you after. In the kind of dream world, if High on Hills and yourself were doing the whole kind of music side of the event or a wedding, how would that look in terms of whether it's like in the drinks reception, a kind of warm up, or then after dinner and then DJing afterwards? So is that the,
yeah, like you mean like a sort of an ideal
scenario.
Well, I think an ideal would be to sort of start off with, say, like violin and sax in the beginning, so that you know, there's something a bit more intimate. People can talk as they come in, the music's a lot more loungy, and then depending on whether we would sort of do sort of like a dinner set,
yeah, which I love, because actually I think now, especially modern weddings, there's, you know, it's rather than having that kind of silent dinner with the odd speech, which is obviously formal and lovely, but I think there's so much more room now to kind of get guests kind of still enjoy, still kind of grooving and still a bit hyper throughout dinner and kind of build that into.
Yeah, and then also as well, there's that like we're saying, that's that timing of the right time when people can start dancing or get involved. And it's always a bit awkward that first bit, you know, whether you're having the first dance or whatever. So
totally, if it goes from silence to first dance, exactly, like, it is, and it's a bit like herding cattle because everyone's like all walking to the same plate. There's definitely something not that slick about it.
Yeah, and so, and I always find that also the bride always feels a bit awkward and she's dreading that bit, isn't she, as well? And I think it shouldn't be like that, you know, it's like dreading, oh God, you know, when do we do it? And so I think we're a really good bridge for that. And also sort of, again, like I said, like the first dance, if they're going that traditional way, that afterwards, you know, that the girls get everyone involved and get them up. So it's not that awkward. Oh, should we stay on the dance floor? You know, it's organic and fun. So that's quite nice. So whether we do like a sort of a lounge, and it's just quite nice that, again, if we have the ability to have, as I said, like a bigger lineup, you know, as far as musicians, we can kind of start off where there's, I suppose we're just teasing. So there's build ups, you know, so by the end, everyone comes out and everyone's like, wow, you know, because they've kind of seen little teasers throughout the sort of, I suppose, the evening. And then depending on how long it is, as I said, either, you know, because obviously I'm one of the DJs, but obviously I'm also the sort of creator of doing the music for you know, the events anyway. But, you know, we've got some amazing DJs. So, you know, we've got a DJ called Rosie, who's incredible. And so, again, it's quite nice that we also get another one of our DJs involved so that we can also, just do quite a long set. Do you know what I mean? A long night. So that'd be,
I think that's nice, because it means that you are feeding with the DJs the kind of music you're playing earlier, and it means that isn't repeated. You know, say someone brings in a separate DJ, they would obviously have to liaise with you, because they don't, it's great if it's kind of that build up continues rather than going background in the circle as such.
And with Rosie, I mean, she's, for me, I really rate her as a DJ. So she's, I've never ever not seen her absolutely rock it, you know, always. She just knows exactly what to play, especially for that sort of type of event. She really knows what to do. She really reads it well. So yeah, that would sort of be my ideal. But again, also, we like working with other people as well. So, you know, we're just happy to be involved.
No, totally,
we're just happy to be involved.
Yeah, no, and I wanted to ask you that whole idea, because it means that then when people are listening, they can hear that. It's the kind of ultimate. And then you can pick and choose from parts of that, depending on your, you know, sometimes events are shorter, or sometimes there is someone else you really want to get involved to. And then, okay, so my last question is, quite a general one, but we think that you bring huge sass and glamour to your live performances, but what would you say, from your opinion, are the main qualities that make Hahn Hill stand out?
I think I sort of said it already, really, but for me, it's the artists that we use, number one. They're incredible, but I am a massive fan of all of them, you know. I love what they bring. And then I've spent a long time on the music, really. So, as I said, like doing our own versions of, you know, I suppose, again, being inspired by Basement Jacks. You know, when Basement Jacks go out and do their set, you know, they've got all their own edits and all their things that you know, that people don't have. So we've got that edge. So, you know, that it's not, I know there's quite a lot of bands that sort of struggle, so they're sort of using karaoke versions, and, you know, again, they're probably working with great musicians, but there's nothing like, excuse me, but a mastered, here we go, here's my deal, like a master track that's been produced, that's got, you know, fat bass line, you know, you're going to hear the sound. So I think with us, our sound is very key in what we do in our versions of the tracks. And yeah, I suppose the chemistry, and just like, I think what you said as well, like, really, you know, everyone very much cares. You know, I wouldn't work with anyone that just turned up and was like, oh, here we go again, you know, another gig. You know, it's not, we love what we're doing, and it's really important that comes off, and that we create the right atmosphere. And most of the time it's a party vibe, you know, most people do book us for party sort of stuff, so that we create that. And we can't wait to get back, so bring it on.
I know, well, I love that. And I can, you know what, as well as seeing the passion live, you can, everyone can hear the passion in your voice. I think that's what makes being like you said, we were talking about earlier, you're, when you're planning a party or a wedding or an event, whether it's for a brand or for a person, it's about creating something memorable and celebration. And I think part of that also is working with really, as well as talented people, really nice, genuine people that make the whole process enjoyable too.
Yeah,
and then you can trust. And I think that, that's also something that High on Hills definitely have to add. Oh, but it's been so nice chatting. And yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for chatting to us.
Okay, bye, Kelly.
All right, take care. Bye.